Hey guys, welcome to the next chapter. I'm Prim Saripapat. For everyone at home, hang in there. I know things are really difficult right now, but you're doing good work. Hopefully today's convo will be a source of insight or inspiration and also entertainment. And speaking of all of those things, especially entertainment, joining us today, very special guest, Pat Connaughton, player and key piece for the Milwaukee Bucks. Also somebody who put on a pretty stellar performance at this year's slam dunk contest. Pat, how are you doing and what are you doing to ensure you don't lose that touch? Do you have a mini hoop or maybe a Nerf ball at home?
Thanks for having me, first and foremost. But no, unfortunately, I don't. I'm in an apartment, so I don't have any access to a hoop. But I have access to some strength and conditioning stuff, some weights, some things that, helped me get that bounce, if you will, before the dunk contest, and hopefully will help me keep it for when the NBA season does come back.
Yeah. How hard was it to see this season come to a screeching halt, especially when you're in the midst of a season where you guys, the Bucks, were in position to not only go deep into the playoffs, but maybe bring a title back to the city for the first time in 50 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. Obviously, when you're playing as well as we were, we wanted things to continue. You know, we wanted to finish what we started, if you will. And we still have hope that we will be able to do that one way or the other. But to the same degree, I think, you know, us as a team, us as an organization, believe that, you know, we're building for more than just one year. So while this year, obviously, like I said, was great and has been great and hopefully will continue to be great. And hopefully we can get back to playing and trying to finish what we started. We think that we can be in the same place, you know, next year and the year after and so on and so forth in order to try to, continue to build this franchise and organization to the place that we think it can be.
Yeah. Have you been able to maintain any sense of normalcy, or have there been bits where this has been pretty challenging for you?
I'd say overall it's been not necessarily challenging, but it's been weird from time to time. I'd say the weirdest thing is just like the other day yesterday when I was putting on the Last Dance or watching the Last Dance, the MJ stuff, I realized I hadn't turned on cable television in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, because the only time I use cable is to watch sports and live events like that. Like I've used my Apple TV or Hulu or, you know, Netflix or HBO Go, whatever it is, to watch the shows that I watch. So
that's interesting, most people are watching the local news right now to just try to stay up to date with everything. So that's interesting that you haven't been doing that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I get a decent amount of news from Twitter and stuff. So I do try to keep up on current events, but to the same token, I think, with everything that's going on, it's hard to know what's accurate, what's not, and things of that nature. So I try to take it all with a grain of salt and try to do my part to make sure I'm doing things to keep me and those closest to me healthy and, trying to be as normal as I can for my day-to-day schedule and try to get the workouts in the morning and find, you know, things to fine tune from my business life in the afternoon and then watch a show at night.
Does this feel like a dry run for retirement? Are you able to see a lot of the parallels between this very long layoff and the inevitable end for what would come for many athletes?
I think so. I mean, I can't necessarily compare them and hopefully can't compare them for a while as far as when retirement does loom. But it's actually something I tweeted the other day or at the beginning of this whole thing is, you know, I hope other athletes are taking the time to use the silver lining in this, see what things interest them outside of sports and, what their day-to-day schedules are going to be when sports are over. Because at the end of the day, you know, Father Prime is undefeated. You know, someday the ball is going to stop bouncing. Your sports career is going to be over. You're going to have to retire. And when that day comes, I hope guys use not just this time, but off seasons and times during their playing career to get involved in stuff that they believe they might be passionate about, to get involved in things that may help their financial stability later on in life and help continue to bring an income in and, do things that are outside of sports to broaden their horizons so that, you know, when your career does end, the hopeful 30, 40, 50 years left of your life, you're doing things that you enjoy just as much.
I find it so interesting that you're able to maintain that larger perspective, that that life continues and will have to continue beyond sport for somebody who really has a lot of potential and opportunity as a professional athlete. If things don't work out in basketball, you also have the option to potentially be a major league baseball pitcher, which is pretty unbelievable. So where were you able to develop that insight and be able to know that doing something beyond sport is just as important?
I'd say a mixture of two places. I think it started with, you know, my mom and my parents. They were big when I was growing up of making sure I didn't put all my eggs in one basket, if you will. You know, I wanted to be playing sports 24/7. They obviously made sure that homework had to get done first, and then they encouraged me or lightly forced me into, you know, playing instruments and doing things that, you know, I may not have wanted to do at the time because it was taking away from sport practice. But there were things that I kind of saw, helped me see the bigger picture and that there are other things to life. And then, you know, Notre Dame would be the other place. I mean, there, when they were recruiting me, you know, the slogan they use is it's a 4-year decision, but it'll have an impact, you know, on 40 years of your life. And I think every student athlete that goes there sees that after they're done playing at Notre Dame. And their big message was, you know, sports are important, but regardless of if you go pro or if you don't, there is going to be a life after sports. And how are you preparing for it? How are you just starting to think about it? And I think in college, that's when I started to think about it. And that's what got me involved into, you know, real estate, or at least tried to learn about it. My dad was a general contractor, so it fit organically. And then from there, and I was fortunate enough, obviously, like you said, to be drafted in baseball my junior year and then be drafted in basketball after my senior year. And I had this source of income, and I learned business at the undergrad business school at Notre Dame. And it was, what am I going to do with that income to try to set myself up for later on? Because I was a second round pick. Nothing was guaranteed that I was going to play in the NBA for the 5 years I have so far, let alone 10 more or whatever it ends up being. So what were the things I was doing immediately to try to make sure it positively affected me later on? And I think that's where sometimes the disconnect can be with athletes, is you think your career is going to last forever, and hopefully it does, but hopefully at least last 10, 15, whatever the amount of years you want it to last. But the things that you do at the beginning of your career, the things that you do while you're playing, and the earlier you start to do them will have a major impact later on.
I find that so interesting that you were able to realize that in college, because a lot of times if you talk to student athletes, especially ones that go to premier programs, they will say athlete first and student second. So it's really interesting that going to Notre Dame helped you realize that you need to start planning for your future, because it's not always the case for student athletes.
No, you're right. And I think, honestly, I think playing two sports helped me with that. Like I knew I had to manage my time wisely. You know, there were times where my friends are going out and I wasn't able to, because I had to go meet up with the baseball coach and work on my pitching. It was late at night or early in the morning during basketball seasons, because I wanted to make sure I was ready when baseball season came about, but I wanted to make sure I was doing it in a way that wasn't obviously interfering with the basketball season that was going on, right? So that time management with the two sports, on top of obviously the schoolwork that Notre Dame requires, kind of helped me broaden my thinking of, hey, if I am fortunate to be a professional athlete someday, you know, what else am I doing? I've been playing two sports my whole life. Obviously playing in the NBA the last 5 years, so I haven't been playing baseball. So with that extra time that I've had, I wanted to make sure in college I was setting my mind up to think what else, so that I could put some time and energy towards that on plane rides and on different stuff that, you know, where we have time throughout the NBA season.
Yeah, that's a really good point about managing your time. And a huge part of managing your time is using some downtime to start bettering yourself in other areas. And I have a feeling you're using this downtime to do a lot of other things. In fact, I know you are. So I know you have your real estate development firm with your father, and you've been doing this for a number of years, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. So I started it, honestly, right when I got drafted in baseball. I was fortunate enough I got to, you know, keep my signing bonus, because when I went back to school, I just went back for basketball. I didn't play baseball that next year. So we did a house that summer. We flipped the house and renovated it. I lived in it my senior year. He sold it after my senior year, and he made a little money on it. We made a little money on it. And so I kind of saw how the process worked on a very small scale. So my first 2 years in the NBA, I did two houses. And I lived in one while I was in Portland. I sold the other one, and I saw how it worked. I saw how the finances behind it worked. I saw how the construction and the development behind it worked. And then I started to, during that time, I started to kind of look at it like, that's what my dad's job was growing up. He was a general contractor. He did luxury homes. He flipped houses. He did things like that, which was how we provided for, you know, my family. But I kind of looked at it like I'm in a unique position. Being a professional athlete, my income comes from somewhere else. It doesn't come directly from these house flippings, if you will. Mm-hmm. So is there a way that I should be doing this smarter, if you will? And I think I tried to network with people that are involved in real estate. I know, obviously, some of the most wealthy people in the world are involved in real estate. And why is that? Like, what are the advantages to that? Why is that the constant factor that I always see? So I tried to reach out to them. And a lot of Notre Dame alums are in real estate, and that community at Notre Dame has. They took my calls, and I got into rooms with them. And I realized, you know, it's not just about flipping houses. You can really start to create some generational wealth if you start doing things differently. And so I took a lot of time in between my second and third year and looked into that, you know, cash flowing properties, multifamily apartment buildings, mixed use buildings, different types of real estate that I could get involved in and I could learn about, and I could learn how they run, operate, and why they're so beneficial. And that's kind of where I've put my time and energy forth for the last few years. And we've done 6 projects in the last 2 years, and wow. Some of them are still going on right now. And, you know, I've taken this time to kind of look at that and be like, how do I grow it from here? You know, how do I take the next step? And that's what I've utilized this time for.
So how is the pandemic affecting your business right now? Because it's having a tremendous impact on all industries, and in fact, causing a collapse in some industries. But how is it impacting what you're doing right now?
You know, I'm actually fortunate. The projects that we're doing right now are under development. So the rents or the businesses that would be in them aren't in them yet because the buildings aren't finished being built. So in a weird way, you know, it hasn't affected me too much. Now, granted,
that's good.
Most of those projects have stopped being developed at the moment in time. So the time of it isn't beneficial. Like, you want them to get developed. One of the things in real estate, obviously, is time, you know, is a big factor. So while I want them to continue to be developed, I also want to make sure we're doing things that are safest for everybody else. But, sure. You know, that's probably been the only effect that I've seen so far. But I know, obviously, it's having a major effect on a bunch of other people, a bunch of other businesses. So, you know, my hope is that, you know, with safety regulations being at the highest, we can get back to it as soon as possible for those people to be able to start to, you know, continue to provide for their families.
Yeah, that's good to hear. You know, in your previous answer, you mentioned about generational wealth and making your money last not only a lifetime, but for your kids and your kids' kids. And that's what all these athletes are trying to do. And I know you've been serving as a guest teacher, not only for your high school, but for your alma mater as well. And so what has been your message to the students that you've been talking to?
So they've been kind of twofold. The ones I've talked to for Notre Dame were graduate entrepreneurship, and it was about the business and the creation of a business while I'm, you know, playing a pro sport, that side hustle, if you will, and how do you build that while you're focused on something else. And that was really cool because obviously it's what I'm living. But Notre Dame students are really smart. So they had some valuable insight, asked some valuable questions, and kind of helped me as much as hopefully I helped them. For my high school, it was about, you know, more about kind of what I do with my foundation. And that's the goal of the foundation, is to get kids involved into sports and kind of teach them those translatable skills, right? Leadership, hard work, teamwork, those things that translate to other areas besides just on the playing surface. So the conversation for them was more about how are you utilizing this time wisely? Because, you know, life will go back to normal at some point in time. And the things that you do now will help set you up for then. And, you know, are you sitting there playing Fortnite or Call of Duty all day? Or are you finding ways to work out? Are you finding ways to learn? Are you finding ways to, you know, learn about things you're interested in that aren't just athletics? And what are you doing during this time? And I think that's was the biggest message for the high school kids.
That's great. I'm glad you're having those conversations, because I feel like a lot of, particularly high school athletes, a lot of them I know are sitting at home and spinning their wheels a little bit. And I know there's been just kind of a spike of uncertainty for them. Also, maybe some issues with anxiety and some other, you know, things. So I think it's been really tough for high schoolers, especially, you know, there's no graduation, there's no prom for some of them. I feel bad for a lot. My niece, I don't even know if she's going to get to go to her senior prom or have her graduation, which is so sad. But yeah, I'm glad you're getting involved and doing all those things. Well, you know, it's been uncomfortable for everybody. So we try to make it a little fun, and we've been getting up and close and personal with everybody. So I think it's time for a little quarantine cribs. Are you ready, Pat?
I'm ready.
Okay. So can you please show it? Where's your comfort spot in your place during times like this? Do you have one?
Yeah, mine is probably sitting on this couch right here.
Looks like a very comfortable couch, very soft and plush.
Comfortable couch with a nice little view of the lake.
Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful.
Cool. Yep. And then I got, ironically enough, I got Giannis bobblehead next to a Pat bobblehead next to a dunk contest photo. So
that's great.
That's another reason why it's a great spot.
Do you have a comfort food that you like to snack on?
Yeah, right next to where we were doing the interview, there's some Kit Kats.
Yes, I love it. And you have it out in a nice little glass, so it's available to you at all times. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you have while you're up and running? What do you have in your fridge right now, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, right now, I have.
Are you a big cook?
Not personally, but got some fruit, some orange juice, some strawberry milk.
Nice.
Some eggs up there, some chicken strips right there. Double stuffed Oreos are always key for me.
I'll give you an applause for that one.
I can't say that I'm probably being the biggest health advocate to everybody that's watching.
Kit Kats and Oreos. Oh, you're good. You're being all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 6'5". If you have a couple Kit Kats, it's just all going to stretch out. For me, 5'2", it's going to go somewhere. You're going to see it. So I think you're good.
I appreciate that. I'll tell our nutritionist, please, next time you speak to me.
Do you have any sort of like fun activity that you like to do while you're at home? You talked about not having a hoop at home. So if I may, I would like to encourage you to check out this Smart Shots Sports Center. So we have this for our little guy, and, you know, we're trying to teach him how to dunk. He doesn't really get the whole concept of dunking. He just, like, puts it in there lightly. So do you have anything like that at home at your place?
So I don't personally. One of my best friends who I live with, who works on the real estate stuff with me, has a little one of those little hoops on the back of his door.
Yes.
So occasionally we have contests shooting from the other side of the room or whatever. It's a little bit difficult from the ceiling standpoint. But overall, it at least provides some entertainment. I've been trying to get one of those golf putters to work on my golf game, since it's in severe need of that. And I can do that inside. And other than that, that's been it. My buddy, we have Nerf guns that we have Nerf wars with sometimes.
Oh, so I was kind of, I mentioned that at the beginning of the interview. I had a feeling you might have some sort of Nerf situation. That's the only thing that you can really do in the house. Okay.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's really it. And try not to break things.
Like exactly.
Like bobbleheads.
Do you have any advice for everybody out there about how to stay sane during times like this?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, what I do is, you know, I find ways to work out in different ways. You know, obviously we're fortunate as NBA players, you know, we have state-of-the-art facilities, but we're not allowed to be able to go in them right now. So kind of back to the old days when I was in seventh grade, where I told my dad I wanted to dunk, and, you know, I wasn't quite old enough to lift weights. So I ran up hills, or I got a weight vest and I jumped up and down on this ledge in my backyard, or I did push-ups, sit-ups. Pull-ups, things that I could do within my house or outside that's right near my house, backyard, whatever. But things that, you know, were exhausting, were tiring, but were helping, you know, better me as a, you know, player and as an athlete and things like that. And that's kind of helped me stay sane, because if I do that in the morning, you know, I can sit on that couch or sit up at my desk and do the business stuff without feeling like I haven't done anything yet in that day.
Or eat your Kit Kats. And then you won't feel guilty.
So when I eat the Kit Kats, they're already being burnt off.
I hear you. I totally hear you. Last question. Who would you like to tag next to be interviewed on this show? Do you have anybody in mind?
Yeah. One of my good buddies who we've actually been talking quite a bit about life away from basketball, real estate, a whole bunch of stuff. CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
He used to be my teammate out in Portland, still one of my good friends today. I think he would be great for this show.
Yeah, I think so. You and I were talking a little bit beforehand. I'm not going to lie. I will admit to the audience, I did pressure you a little bit to mention CJ, but I've been trying to get him on this show, and he and I have been going back and forth on social media. He mentioned that he used to work for Abercrombie & Fitch, which doesn't surprise me. He kind of looks like an Abercrombie & Fitch kind of guy in high school. You know, he looks like one of those cool dudes. So
I'm not going to comment on that because I'll hear about it later from him. But let's just say, while I didn't know he was an Abercrombie & Fitch model at some point in time growing up or worked there, I will be asking that question to him offline.
Yeah, did I say model? I don't think I said model. Did I say model? Or
I'm just picturing what would CJ be doing at Abercrombie & Fitch store. I'm picturing him outside without a shirt on modeling to try to get people inside. Don't tell him I said that.
I won't. I'm just going to share this with my 30,000 Twitter followers. We'll see what he has to say. It'll be just between you and me and 30,000 people.
it's all in good fun.
All right, Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show. Stay safe. Good luck whenever the season returns. We'll all be watching you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.